Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Al Horford, two for two, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
The clock will hit triple zeros. Round one to Toronto in what everyone hopes will be and what promises to be a 15-round slugfest for the Eastern Conference. The final score, Toronto 113, Boston 101.
I thought they got the benefit of officiating tonight, particularly going to the free throw line. The Celtics never got to the line, and they were aggressively going to the basket, too. What did the free throws end up?
It ended up Celtics 10, Raptors 19. First half, the Celtics had five free throws, so they got five in the second half. The Raptors had four free throws in the first half. So they had, what, 15 in the second half. So a 15-5 disparity in the second half.
Really?
No, I'm just...
Really?
But Tommy, I'm not... Hold on, Tommy. I can't let you get away with that. This It wasn't
what
that
did
egregious.
I say?
It wasn't that egregious, though, was it?
Going to the basket both ways. Ibaka got a three-point play at the end of the ball game after he pushed off with a rebound. All right, and then he gets to the line to boot. That's the type of stuff that drives you crazy.
That didn't take long. Two games in, Tommy Heinsohn, mid-season form, bitching about the officiating in the Celtics 113-101 loss to the Toronto Raptors last night. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. So kudos to Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston, in the postgame there, trying to rein Tommy in. Were there some dubious calls for Kyle Lowry late?
Yep.
But that's not why the Celtics lost last night.
But Kyle Lowry, obviously, like Marcus Smart, as a defender, has a rep that gets those calls. I mean, he led the NBA last year in charges taken.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Smart gets calls that you'd be like, I don't know. But he has that rep that he's that good defensively and in taking charges, and so is Lowry. You're going to get those.
If we're being fair, as we know, Celtics fans, you know, you'll love it when Marcus Smart's flopping all over the court, especially late in a game, to help the Celtics win a game. That's what Kyle Lowry did last night. You're going to get home calls. You know, they're playing in Toronto. What the hell do you expect? That's what he does. The Raptors, and some of the stuff that Tommy was saying there too, like, what did you watch the game? The Raptors were more aggressive than the Celtics getting to the basket. Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, they were great late. Celtics resorted to chucking up threes. Serge Ibaka absolutely killed them.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Brad Stevens' rotations in the end of the fourth were weird. Why didn't Jaylen Brown play in that last, like, seven and change?
I agree with you.
And I know he was in foul trouble, but at that point, it's moot. Like, get him on the court. What the hell are you doing? So go ahead. I just thought my biggest takeaway more than anything else, and we'll talk about this throughout the hour. Shame on me, Chris, for not taking Toronto a little more seriously. I thought the Kawhi Leonard thing was going to be square peg, round hole. Didn't know how much he really wanted to be there. I thought he would be rusty early. He was phenomenal last night. More than anything else, they're still the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East. I thought Milwaukee would be better, as you know, they add guys like Ilyasova. They actually have a real coach, Mike Budenholzer. Indiana, I think, is a bit of a threat, maybe sneaky. Threat for the Celtics in terms of, you know, where the seeding is going to be in the East. Toronto, I know they were first. You know, they were a great team last year, but a perpetual postseason puker, much like David Price had been up until game four of the ALCS, of the ALCS. But Leonard looks like, you know, he looks like...
He's healthy to me.
He's absolutely healthy. He was dominant in that second half. They're a real threat, and that was my bigger takeaway more than anything else. I know it's just one game. We're only two in.
Yeah.
But Toronto... They're for real.
Yeah, and not only are they for real, but they're a better team than they've been in the past. I think it's not just bringing in Kawhi, who's a better two-way player than DeRozan. Danny Green was great in that game. I mean, he was plus 25, and the chase down block he had on Jason Tatum was a huge play late in that game. He's a classic 3-and-D guy, which is something that the Raptors needed. And I think also you're talking about two guys in Green and Leonard that come from a winning culture with the Spurs that know how to win. And I think that's something that the Raptors need. They need guys that have done it before and that sort of know how to win. So when you look at that Raptors team and the way they played the Celtics, I mean, again, it's only the second game of the year. You don't want to overreact. And I actually thought Brad Stevens was kind of experimenting a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, taking the long view in terms of what he did. And I do want to get into that. I mean, I thought the fourth quarter lineup was a little interesting. It was the starters down the stretch minus Jaylen Brown and then Marcus Morris at first. And then he committed an offensive foul that I thought was kind of suspect, to be honest. I thought it was a bad call on Morris. And then he came in with Terry Rozier, and I was like, we're going small here? Like, why are we going small? What are we doing, you know, with this? So, you know, I think Brad's sort of still trying to experiment and figure it out. It was a great game. I think you're going to see other great games between these teams. There were some positives, though. I mean, I thought Gordon Hayward
took
a huge step forward.
Yep. Yeah, I thought he was better. You know, Kyrie still, it was a better game than he had in game one. That's obvious. But defensively, it felt like he was getting eaten alive late, and it felt like he was, you know, trying to give effort there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just an aesthetics thing.
Okay.
His hair right now, it makes him look heavier. Maybe he's just trying to play himself into shape. He just looks a little off. He looks a little slow. He has in these first couple of games.
He looks like you should star in a live-action version of the Boondocks.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think for right now, these first couple of games, the truth is Terry Rozier's been playing better than Kyrie Irving. He has, to me. But there are positives, you know. So the biggest thing, you know, in terms of a positive last night, Gordon Hayward, because it did look a little rusty in game one.
Yeah.
He did look more comfortable. And I like that he got Kawhi Leonard early in terms of a defensive assignment in this game. So I thought that was, you know, Coach Stevens putting a lot of trust into a player that's trying to work himself back. So I thought that was good as well. And Al Horford looked like playoff Al last night, too.
The biggest thing that I want to talk about, though, the rotations to me are still weird. And it wasn't just the fourth quarter. And also, guys are just going to have to sort of learn their roles. There was one point in the fourth where, you know, Marcus Smart is out there. And I think the guys on the floor were Irving, Hayward, Horford, and Tatum. And he took like a post-up turnaround jumper. And then there was another time you could tell he wanted to jack up a three, and he just stopped himself. But I'm sort of like, you got to know who you're on the floor with and what your role is. I mean, you know, when those other guys are on the floor, if the ball rotates and they move the ball and you get a wide open look, by all means, take it. Don't pass up that shot. But when you're sort of creating, you know, your own offense with those guys on the floor, that's a mistake. They still don't look like they've hit that stride. And again, it's only two games and they've had training camp, but they still don't look like, I don't think everybody looks comfortable playing with everybody else. There was another period there in the third quarter where Hayward was trying to make a move, and Jason Tatum cut through the lane, and Hayward didn't pass it to him. He might have been open. He wasn't. But instead of Tatum clearing through and going to the corner and creating spacing, he said, well, now I'm going to pin my guy under the basket and post up. Hayward drives, and now there's an extra defender there because you're trying to post up 2 feet from the hoop off your cut instead of continuing to just flow through and go. So I think they're trying to figure out, you know, who should be playing with whom, how they're going to play. And that's going to be something to watch, not just, you know, last night and tonight against the Knicks, but moving forward, because I think this is a different type of coaching challenge for Brad Stevens. You know, he has really more talent.
A lot of mouths to feed.
And, you know, the games, unless it goes into overtime, there's only 48 minutes to divvy up and there's only one basketball. So I think some guys are going to have to settle into roles that maybe are not their preferred roles eventually.
Phil and Quincy, what do you make of the rotations last night?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I was saying to my buddy last night watching the game that it almost looked like a role reversal last night between the Celtics and the Raptors, because the Raptors were sharing the ball. They looked like the Celtics last year, and the Celtics looked like the Raptors. It looked like it was all ISO ball, because, you know, they got to end the game. They had Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris in the game. I didn't know what the heck Brad was trying to do there. And then the only other thing I saw was the defensive rebound. They were getting killed by Abarkas on the glass. You know, I mean, get ready for the Anthony Davis rumors to start with that, if that keeps up.
Yeah, that might have been the best game I've ever seen Ibaka play. And, yeah, not only that, they missed a lot of close shots, a lot of turnovers. It was, look, they're not going to go 82-0 in the regular season. It was just, there was some sloppy play there last night that was frustrating. Phelps in Brighton, your thoughts on last night's game. Go ahead.
Hey, Gasper, you said you went to the season ticket event a while back when Kyrie announced?
No, I wasn't at that.
Well, anyway, the way he announced and the way the stadium got behind him, it would be such a heel turn if he didn't come back. He'd have to, like, body slam Danny Ainge through the table as he's about to sign and have LeBron come out of nowhere for that.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, does Kyrie strike you as a guy who's going to make decisions based on what other people think? And how he's going to be perceived.
It's not going to happen, but it'd be quite the heel turn.
You're absolutely right. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, if there's one guy who's going to say, you know, sort of contrarian and going to say, I'm not going to take into account what other people think about me, it's about my own happiness, it's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's probably him. I guess, you know, thanks for losing last night, but the way Hayward looked a little more comfortable, and I think the rotations, they got to find their own pecking order. Like, they don't look like they're a little hesitant to shoot because they're taking shots away from the next guy, you know?
Yeah, it did. I mean, there were a couple of times, again, you know, when Hayward had it going, and I'm not, you know, I don't mean to single him out, but to me, it stood out to me. When Hayward got it going there late in the third quarter, it almost looked like Tatum didn't know what to do. And that's normal because Tatum hasn't played with him.
Yeah.
And Tatum was kind of like, I don't know where to go or what to do. You know, there was one time where he was just sort of standing out there, you know, 26 feet from the hoop, not really doing anything. No cut, no space. There's nothing there. And he's just sort of watching Hayward. And I think it's going to take some time to develop that chemistry and where guys go and where you can go off of them to get the ball.
Yeah, it was a big come back down to earth game for Jason Tatum, especially after how he looked in game one, where a few minutes in, Chris, I was literally saying to my television, it's Tatum's team now. And so you want to overreact to last night's game in terms of a negative? Okay, fine. But I definitely overreacted after game one against that Philly team, and I think that ended up being more about the 76ers, who are just soft as puppy poo. My God, I don't think they're a threat at all. Toronto, though, oh, different story. And a lot of that has to do with Kawhi Leonard, who looked like pre-injury Kawhi last night, playing like at an MVP level just in their second game. So, a real threat there. Will they be able to keep him? Probably not. But Kawhi Leonard will touch on his performance last night. Those idiot Toronto fans already chanting MVP two games in. I don't know if you heard that, but we'll have some of that audio for you. And continue to take your calls here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Thoughts on last night's game. We'll, of course, touch on game one against Philly as well. 617-779-0985 if you'd like to join us. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kawhi Leonard pushed past Van Vliet, up fakes, drives past Kyrie Irving, swings back to an open Kawhi Leonard for three. Brad Stevens saw that coming a mile away.
Well, you know, obviously a guy like Kawhi that plays inside out, Danny Green experienced player, really underrated defender, and, you know, obviously they moved Ibaka to the five, so they're playing more like us, playing faster, the new NBA look, and I worked for them.
He probably missed some shots he normally makes. Felt like for the most part we guarded him pretty well. He had some tough ones, that's what he does, but you got to try to make him shoot contested twos, and I thought he had a couple open threes that we left him, we shouldn't have left him, but for the most part I thought we played pretty decent on him.
Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So, Al Horford and Gordon Hayward talking about Kawhi Leonard's night. Celtics fall to the Raptors last night, 113-101. Kawhi finishing with 31 points, and they might look a little bit hollow if you didn't watch the game and you just look at the stat line, because he shoots 10 of 25 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, but again, if you watched, Kawhi was great late. He really, and this was the biggest, I guess, kind of a surprise for me, because I haven't really been taking Toronto seriously going into the season, Chris. I know I should because of where they finished here the last few years, but and the Kawhi thing, I feel like they kind of crowbarred him in. It was a trade. Did he really want to be there? Some of the press conferences he's had in a Raptors uniform, he looks just so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's kind of like, remember when Steve Francis got drafted by the then Vancouver Grizzlies and basically like cried and acted like a hostage?
It looked like a hostage video. It was exactly what it looks like. Yeah. So, look, you just look at it, and it's like, okay, you know, you can tell. He looked like pre-injury Kawhi. This is a top-notch two-way player, legit MVP candidate when he's healthy, proven playoff performer. So he's going to help this team, especially when you get rid of a guy who was, okay, a good offensive player in DeMar DeRozan, but was maybe the biggest playoff choker in the team. The Raptors, they're legit, and Kawhi looks healthy, so they're going to be a real threat here. Were you surprised that he looked as good as he did? I don't know if you happen to watch their first game or just see highlights. I know I didn't, but I know I was surprised at that performance last night.
Yeah, I mean, I had not seen their first game, so, you know, for me, looking at that, it's like, oh, this looks like Kawhi, particularly in the third quarter with the 15 points, you know, and I think people had sort of forgotten how good a player
Kawhi Leonard
was. Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of people had forgotten how good of a two-way player that Kawhi Leonard really is, and I don't think there was any question that he was the best player on the floor last night and that he imposed his will on that game. So, you know, there are long-term questions, obviously, about Kawhi Leonard and where he wants to land. He's been very vocal about wanting to play in L.A., but now the reports are he doesn't want to be with LeBron James with the Lakers, so that would just leave the Clippers, who could desperately use, you know, that sort of anchor for a team. But for right now in the East, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the East. I mean, it's probably Kawhi or Giannis.
Yeah, and boy, he looks like he's even like put on like a layer of muscle too. They're the team, I think, to me, going in, I thought they were going to be the bigger threat. I think, you know, Giannis is going to make an MVP type of jump here. They get some help and a guy like Ilyasova who can shoot threes, a real coach in Mike Budenholzer. I think there's going to be a bit of a jump with Milwaukee. Just quickly on Kawhi, though, last night, fans are going to do fan things. I understand that.
Yeah.
If I'm being fair, you know, I was obviously very hard on the what I referred to as the Bridge Celtics and Isaiah Thomas, who I thought was wildly overrated by many people around here. And you loved chanting MVP, MVP for Isaiah Thomas, even though he was in the conversation that last year, but realistically was never going to win it. Two games in, these idiots in Toronto last night, they're going to do this.
Wow. Too soon? MVP chant for Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
But he has been tonight. Three free throws for Kawhi Leonard, all 22 of his points.
I typically like Canadians, but you people are idiots. You chant an MVP two games in. What do you? Okay, so what is this? You understand he's likely not going to stay past this season.
They're
so
courting him, Jim. It's the courting process.
You got to try to butter him up two games in. You stupid Canadians. Again, love the people. Love poutine. Love Toronto. Great city. They call napkin serviettes. They're all very kind up there. One of the cleanest cities you could go to.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Hell of a place. But you people are fools. Stop that.
No, they're showing him some love. I mean, you know, they're trying to... They're trying to recruit the guy. Get used to it. The whole year's going to be like that. They're going to try and do everything they can to convince him that he should stay there. Sort of like, and it's a little different, but sort of like Paul George last year in OKC. Everybody said that he was a shoe-in to leave, and he ended up staying. So Torontonians are going to pull out all the stops, so just get used to it.
Sean in Braintree on the Raptors last night. Go ahead. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from last night's game was the fact that the Raptors GM should get a lot more credit than I think he's gotten. I thought when he traded for Kawhi, I thought it was a little dumb. But I think that proved to, you know, you kind of have to let go of that comfortable feeling of, you know, like Isaiah Thomas when we shipped him out or DeMar DeRozan, you know, when you have the opportunity to trade for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you don't pass that up.
Well, yeah, he had to take a chance. I mean, look, they had flamed out. Last year, they're the number one seed. It doesn't make a difference. They you know, been dominated by LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Obviously, LeBron's no longer in the East, but I think he looked at what he had and said, you know, last year, that's the best we can do. I mean, they fired the NBA Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey, and now there's this, you know, Nick Nurse.
Yeah. He's a G League guy, right?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about Nick Nurse. I really don't. No, I never. I mean, I don't know. You know, they could have Nick Nolte as the coach, for all I care. I don't know.
That would be very entertaining.
Well, you know, he was very good in blue chips. Yeah. You know, if you need a duffel bag full of cash, he's your guy.
Khalil in West Roxbury.
Him or Bill Self, apparently.
You're next here on the Sports
Show. How you doing?
Celtic Show. Hey.
All right. So regarding the game yesterday, I think a big issue for us, at least in the beginning of the year, like as you guys said, was the lineup uncertainty and just having three forwards that are known to score and have the ball, such as Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum all in the game at the same time. How about you ease them in and start a guy like Marcus Smart that knows his role and knows what he's got to do when he's in the game with guys like that, just dominate on the defensive end, get the ball to them, and kind of – but, you know, one of them has got to let their ego down. I think Jaylen Brown's the guy that's got to come off the bench at least in the beginning of the year. And, I mean, it's no need to go crazy, but, I mean, it's an easy fix, at least for the beginning.
So starting Smart. I mean, I just feel like it's going to kind of change on a night-to-night basis depending on the opponent, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that was puzzling to me, and you mentioned the foul trouble, and that's part of it, obviously. And I think that, you know, the Celtics were cognizant of that. But I thought Jaylen Brown was actually one of their better players last night. So I was surprised that he didn't get
inserted. Well, he hits a corner three. They take an eight-point lead. It's not like he was terrible. Again, foul trouble, understandably. But with seven and change remaining in the game, like, who the hell cares? It's all hands on deck. You know, you're trying to win the game or not. That just... And was he asked about this? I looked in the, you know, in our system here for any sound, and there's not even any Coach Stevens sound. So I don't know if anybody asked him why Jaylen Brown didn't play late.
Maybe. I mean, I know they asked Brad sort of about some of the lineup stuff and choices and all that. I mean, I think he is experimenting just to see what works. I was surprised that when they took Marcus Morris out late that they didn't come back with either Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart. I was a little surprised he went to Rozier. He said at that point he wanted to go small, and with the multiple ball handlers that Toronto had in there, he wanted to match that. I like Rozier. He's played really well. I think you're right about what's happened these first two games, and he was great in the playoffs last year. I do get a little worried, though, because I feel like the Celtics are developing a little bit of a sort of an inexplicable fascination with this guy. He's a very good player, and he'd be a starter on a lot of other teams. But bringing him into that game over Jaylen Brown or even Marcus Smart when you need defense at that point, that's sort of questionable to me. Like, that said a lot about how they feel about Rozier to me. It's like, okay, we're in a tough spot. This is bad. We're going to put Terry Rozier in to change the tide. I think that's a bit much.
So do you think that might have to, and this is obviously very premature, just two games in, is that a showcase maybe?
No, I don't think it's a showcase. I mean, it sort of goes back to, you know, Bob Ryan asking Theo Epstein, what's the fascination with J.D. Drew? I mean, yeah. Really good, you know, very good player. J.D. Drew was a very good player. And Terry Rozier is a very good player. He's going to be a starter somewhere in this league, and he'll put up numbers. But at that point against that team, to say, like, that's the answer, is to put Terry Rozier in there, just seemed a little strange to me. I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown, I think, and this was even said post-game on NBC Sports Boston, you know, no one was stopping Kawhi Leonard, but at least Jaylen Brown was sort of competitive with him, and Jaylen Brown was having a good shooting night, 5 of 10, 3 of 6 from 3. He would have been the guy I would have brought back in. And going to Terry Rozier there, to me, was weird for Brad Stevens. I'm not quite sure what the logic was outside of wanting more ball handlers on the floor.
So despite falling to Toronto 113-101, Nate in Orlando, Florida, you were encouraged by last night's loss. Why?
Yeah, well, all right. So number one, Murray, I'm sorry, but I think Kawhi is going to win MVP this year. I thought last season before he got injured, he was my preseason pick, and he looks better this year. His handles got better. Him driving through the lane, he just looks better this year. So that was just my two cents on that. But as far as last night, it's only game two. Brad Stevens kept saying it during the game how, you know, it's October basketball. So they were playing very sloppy. They kept missing, you know, shots in the paint. But the thing that really stood out to me was when they subbed Kawhi Leonard, for T.J. Miles. In the second half, when the Celtics subbed Jaylen Brown, they put in Gordon Hayward. And it was, and we saw how Gordon Hayward played in that third quarter. And just seeing, it's one thing to talk about our depth, but just to see it, like, firsthand, the, you know, the substitutions, the different things that Brad Stevens can do, it just made me, it encouraged me. And to think about, you know, like the Warriors, when they first got Kevin Durant, they didn't start off that great. When the big three in Miami got together, they didn't start off well. You know, it took time for them to gel and understand each other. And I think that's what's going to happen with this team.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We talked to Sean Grandy about this last week. He, of course, who is the play-by-play man here for the Celtics on the Sports Hub. And he said, like, you know, especially with how this schedule is early, they got some tough games right off the rip here. This is going to look a little wonky, and you had to expect that. Like I said, like the caller just said, you know, when they put the big three together in Miami, they were terrible for like the first month and a half. So it's going to, they're going to have to work through this. But to what he said, when it is clicking like it did in game one, I mean, they can really come at you in waves. So I want to talk about that game, the opener against the Philadelphia 76ers earlier this week. Again, an embarrassment of riches for Boston sports fans right now. If you want to talk Celtics, now is the time to do it because you have the Red Sox in the World Series. The Patriots, who we'll get to in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now, it's for you Green Teamers. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. We'll touch on the first game of the year against the 76ers, the win at home. We'll do that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sarge.
Headlines.
All right, thank you, Jim. Well, the Celtics lost to the Toronto Raptors last night in Toronto, 113-101. Gordon Hayward, 14 points in the loss. And this was, of course, his second game back coming off that ankle injury last year.
It was good. Felt like I found a little bit of rhythm there in the second half. I think it was a good step for me. I think each game will be progress. Unfortunately, we didn't win tonight, but I thought, like I said, I found a little something there in the second.
Kawhi Leonard had a game-high 31 for Toronto. Celtics right back to work tonight at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. John Wallach and Cedric Maxwell will have the call starting at 7 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins continue their road trip against the Canucks in Vancouver. Our pregame gets underway at 10 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Cerrone and Bob Beers will have the call. Patriots at Chicago tomorrow against the Bears. 10 Patriots are listed as questionable. Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and Sony Michel among those for Chicago. Pass rusher Khalil Mack is questionable with an ankle injury. Looks like he'll be good to go, though. Kickoff tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Pregame gets underway at 10 a.m. College football scoreboard, top 25 action.
Michigan and Michigan State are scoreless in the first quarter. Oklahoma tied with TCU at 7. And locally, Harvard trails Princeton 7-0 over at the stadium. Later this afternoon, number one ranked Alabama is at Tennessee. And the Red Sox will have a workout today at Fenway Park ahead of Game 1 of the World Series, which will be Tuesday night. At Fenway, Chris Sale will get the start in that game. National League Championship Series Game 7 tonight. Winner punching a ticket to Boston on Tuesday. The Dodgers and the Brewers last night. Milwaukee 7-2 winners at Miller Park. Headlines are brought to you by Brookline Bank. They're your source for signature business banking. Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 year ago, a season began with so much promise. And 5 minutes into it, everything changed. Tonight, Gordon Hayward puts on the white home Celtics uniform for the first time, hits the three that decides it, and the Boston Celtics show the world why they are the favorites in the Eastern Conference with a truly impressive opening night performance. They blow out the Sixers by 18. The final, Boston 105, Philadelphia 87.
We're a long way from being really good, but if we play hard, then we have a chance to get there.
Sports Up Celtics Show, 98.5 Sports Up. Jim Murray and Chris Gasper and you at 617-779-0985. So the Celtics open the 2018-19 campaign with their 105-87 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. And we have to go all the way back to earlier in the week for this game. But Jason Tatum, I think it was really his night, as I mentioned earlier. Bit premature, Jim, but this thing tends to happen as I am a very drastic fan. I yelled to the TV, "It's Tatum's team now! Who wants it? Tatum's team now!" Finishes with 23 points, 9-17 shooting from the floor. Scored 9 of the Celtics' first 11 points. Really never looked back to an enormous night, even though he came back down to earth last night against Toronto. But still, Tatum, phenomenal in this game. Looked like Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving kind of struggled at times. There's going to be some rust there with their first full game back, but that's to be expected. But overall, your thoughts on this game, and really the bigger takeaway more than anything else, as good as Tatum looked, was, boy, what a soft group that 76ers team is. And I like Ben Simmons a lot, and he's the one guy that actually has edge. But that edge can quickly turn into bitchiness, Chris. Like, when he pushed Tatum down there, like, there was no call there, but you know the play that I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Like, he's just kind of a cheap, kind of bitchy player. Like, and I like a guy that plays with an edge, but when it goes to that level, it's just like, oh, God, like, really? Like, and they're a soft group. They really are. And the comments made by Joel Embiid after the game saying, like, this isn't a rivalry. They kicked our ass. That's all they do. And yeah, that's true, because I don't think that they're a real threat. Really don't.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they need to change some things with their team. You know,
maybe the coach.
The biggest thing that stood out to me, well, I think right now, and Brett Brown said it, he said he felt like he owed it to the organization to start Markelle Fultz. I'm not sure that Markelle Fultz should be starting for them. You look at that game.
What happened when Redick came in off the bench?
Yeah, it was different. Yeah. And you look at that game, too. So you have Simmons and Fultz combined to take 21 shots, not a single three-pointer. You can't win in today's NBA like that. You can't have those guys. I'm not even sure you can have those guys on the floor together. I mean, it's just two non-shooters. And that's the biggest issue to me with the 76ers. And it was the biggest thing the Celtics exposed, I thought, in the playoff series last year. A guy's unwillingness or inability to shoot the ball from the perimeter. You're not going to win in today's NBA like that. Just as good as Embiid is, just trading twos for threes, it's hopeless. So unless one of those guys can develop a 3-point shot, or they can bring in another guy as a shooter, I think Philadelphia is a team that Celtics match up really, really well with.
Yeah, and the Fultz thing, you know, look, I'm not much like Price, even though I'm very hard on a player, and you know that's part of the job, just being kind of an a-hole here with a microphone in front of you. Fultz, I wish him the best, but it just feels like they're trying to crowbar him, and it really does.
It does,
they're trying to justify the number one pick. It just feels like it just might not work for him. He reminds me of Dookie from The Wire. He just looks sad all the time. Like, deep down, he knows this isn't going to work for me. I really shouldn't. I've chosen the wrong career.
It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant, right? And you something looks good on the menu, and then you order it, and it comes, and you're like, oh no,
realize you've made a terrible mistake.
Exactly.
Why did I get the fajitas? The stink coming off of them has already ruined my clothes. My night is ruined.
But you're still hungry, and yep. You're like, and you've sort of, you know, somehow find a way to force down a couple of bites. That's what it feels like with Markelle Fultz. I'll take that Markelle Fultz victory lap.
The other thing too is that at least for that night, the BWA lives up to their moniker, the bench with attitude. Marcus Morris, you know, he helped the scoring load there, 16 points, 7 to 12. Terry Rozier, 11 points, 5 from 9 from the floor. So, again, that's how they can attack a team, just coming in waves. And it's the how many mouths you have to feed here for Brad Stevens. This is going to be something he's going to have to deal with all season long. Last year, he had Marcus Morris kind of bitch a little bit about the fact he wasn't a starter. Yep. So it's just handling all these personalities. That's the biggest challenge for him.
It is. Season. And you're going to have to find a flow, and you're going to have to find a rotation and who you want to go to. And it could change on a nightly basis, but you do have to settle into something. I also think when I watch them play that there's also sort of a struggle too for like the pecking order. You know what struck me the first quarter of the opening game is you looked at the box score after the first quarter and both Tatum and Brown took 6 shots. And it was kind of like, hey, we're still here and we're still going to do our thing.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know. So at some point they're going to have to sort of figure it out. Cause I feel like Kyrie takes his shots and you got that going. And after that, it doesn't feel like there's really sort of an established pecking order of who the Celtics want to go to or who they want to run the offense through.
Who should it be?
I mean, I think it should be Tatum. I think Tatum should be number two.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of what they did in sort of, you know, opening night. There was a spurt there where I can't remember exactly who was on the floor. I know Tice was on the floor and it was basically bench guys and Hayward. I think that makes a lot of sense. And even when Hayward got it going last night, he got it going because he was the primary ball handler. And you saw that, and he was able to, you know, dice and dissect things off that pick and roll. So if he's going to be a primary ball handler and that's how he has to initiate his offense, then I think you need to see him out there with more of the bench guys. You know, put him out there with a guy like Marcus Smart. Put him out there with guys who can't necessarily create his own shot. Otherwise, I fear that what could end up happening with Hayward with the starting group is that he basically gets the Kevin Love treatment. And it's like, go stand in the corner, we'll pass it to you, and you can jack up these threes because that's what we need for spacing, and that's what we need with the guys we have.
Cam and Taunton on Jason Tatum thus far this season. Go ahead, Cam.
Jim, first of all, I want to apologize to you. I didn't mean to get you into a pizza war with half of Boston on Tuesday.
Oh, no, that's fine. So just real quick for the backstory of what he's talking about. So, Cam and I have gone back and forth on what's the best pizza in Boston on Twitter for a while now. And Cam, a big fan of Pizzeria Regina, which I like too. I like their straight cheese. Well, then I start getting chirped by Pizzeria Regina on Twitter. And it's just like, you know how it is. You kick a hornet's nest on there. You could say the word the and someone's going to get angry about it. Like, I don't like the way you said it. Rabble, 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 rabble. How do you not like Pizzeria Regina? And I'm literally getting chirped at by brands now. So thanks for that.
Well, Kim, you should tell them, you know what? Maybe I just haven't had it recently. Send over some free samples.
No,
and I'll let you know.
No, I'm not going to be bought, Chris. They offered to send over some pies, and I said, no, I'm good. I'll stop in when I need just a cheese on my own. I don't need your,
okay,
you know.
That's good, but what about your friends and colleagues here at 98.5 The Sports Hub?
And they can figure it out for themselves. Cam, what do you got on Jason Tatum?
Tatum, I mean, I lamented that trade when they made it because I wanted Fulton. This is like my biggest loss and the take I've ever had ever, because this kid is special. He's a special talent. You saw it in opening night, just the way he moves. He looks like Kobe. I know it's a drastic, but he looks like, they've been videos of him. His moves look just like his. I know they worked out in the summer, and then, you know, Pierce raving about him at halftime last night. Of course, you know, in the second half, he kind of tailed off. But, like, if you're not that kid looks like he could be a future MVP. He really does. Well, you should be excited about that guy more than you should be Kyrie almost now.
Yeah, the power moves to the paint offensively. Like, and him working with Kobe, there is a physical movement similarity there. He's not wrong to say that.
No,
he's
not.
Trying to model his game after him, so there is going to be some influence there.
Yeah, I like some of the back-to-the-basket turnaround stuff that he's added to his game. I saw some of that in the preseason, that first preseason game against the Hornets. I saw him hit one of those, and that's a shot for a guy like Tatum that, if that's going down, it's basically unstoppable.
This pizza that they were talking about, that they were all pumped up about, because apparently Travelocity or something said it was the best pizza.
Oh,
on the
it was TripAdvisor. Now you're going to get chirped by them for saying it was a competitor.
Again, I love the straight cheese from Pizzeria Regina. It's one of the top in the city. This one that they're pumped up about, it looks like someone opened up a lawnmower bag and poured it on top of the pizza. Like, enough. Like, I don't need a million fresh onions and peppers and all the other nonsense. Straight cheese. That's what you should be based on. This is what Dave Portnoy does with his pizza reviews on Barstool. Straight cheese, keep away the nonsense. And Regina, it's good, but it's not as good as Galleria Umberto in the North End.
One bite.
You know it. I know it. The world knows it.
I think we need a pizza taste-off. That's what we need. Hosted by Jim Murray.
Who's next for the Celtics? We'll touch on their upcoming game tonight, a back-to-back in New York. We'll get to that next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. You want to get in on anything Celtics-related, you got about 10 minutes to do so. You want to join us, 617-779-0985.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shot clock is off. Down to 10 seconds to go. LeVert against Hardaway. Michigan on Michigan for the New York City game here in game two of the season. Down to 3-2. The drive. Floater. Good! He banked it in with 1 second to go. Karis LeVert puts the Nets up by two.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So what's next for the Celtics? It's the Knicks tonight. That was the sound of the Knicks losing to the lowly Brooklyn Nets last night. What did that announcer refer to it as? The Battle of New York? Please. Like the people even there care. But Karis LeVert converting the game-winning bucket with 1 second remaining. And there was a desperation heave by Tim Hardaway at the buzzer. It didn't connect. So Brooklyn wins 107-105. Celtics at MSG tonight against the New York Knicks with a 7:30 tip-off. And it's John Wallach on the call tonight along with Cedric Maxwell. Yep, fill in for Wallach. You can catch the call of the game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You were just saying this Knox kid that they got.
Yeah, Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox.
Yeah, it was at Kentucky last year. I like him. I think he dropped 17 pretty good last night. Yeah. No, I like his game. You know, the Knicks are starting to put Steve Mills is starting to put some pieces together there. It'll be interesting. You think there'll be a couple of questions for Kyrie from the New York media?
Yeah, so this is where it's going to be interesting there. It feels like that's kind of dissipated, what with Kyrie making the announcement to the season ticket holders a few weeks back. And as you are always quick to point out, it's not like he assured them, yes, 100%, I will be back. There's still some wiggle room there.
Yeah, he says, I intend, I plan.
But
you know?
It does feel like there's a lot of broken hearts in terms of New York sports media, Knicks fans. So, yeah,
I mean,
he'll be.
Let me just break it down for you, Jim. You know, like, I intend to be on time for Felger and Maz, but it doesn't always happen. You know what I mean?
Don't we know?
Yeah, I do. So I'm just saying, you know, Kyrie could have the best intentions. I know how that goes, but, you know, things happen. Things change.
But, yeah, looking at this Knox kid, I mean, there's apparently, at least in terms of, like, the New York rags, he's drawing some comparisons with Jason Tatum, 6'9". Tatum, 6'8". Knox listed at 215. Tatum around 208. Wingspan's basically identical. Stats from their lone seasons in college are almost identical looking at some of this stuff. So, hey, they might have found themselves a player there.
Yeah,
so.
No, Knox, I know he's a guy I liked in the draft, and he looked pretty good in summer league. There's always a caveat with summer league. I call it the Marco Bellinelli rule, because 1 year for the Warriors, when, you know, Don Nelson was still there, he just, like, crushed summer league, and everybody thought, they're like, this guy's going to be Dirk. And it's like, he's had a nice career, but, you know, let's not get carried away. So we'll see. But he I think he's one of those guys where he might be better in the NBA than he was in college, just with the whole one-and-done thing. I think sometimes it takes guys a little while to get in the flow, and it's almost sort of similar to what the Celtics are going through, you see, with some of these college teams that have all these five-star recruits. It's like you're trying to figure out the pecking order and where do you fit in and what's my role, and it can be challenging.
So we'll touch on this one-and-done thing, because apparently, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the NBA insider, the league, and the Players Association have kind of hit a brick wall when it comes to the talks on that thing. But I do want to mix in one more call here before we wrap up the show. John in New Hampshire on Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, so I had a little disagreement with Gasper about 20 minutes ago. He was talking about Jaylen's performance last night. I really disagree considerably. He made a couple threes, but I felt like mentally he just wasn't there. I think Stevens actually yanked him after Kawhi drove the hoop and had his only dunk for the game. And really that kind of got Kawhi going in the second half when he had that dunk. And I think that all in all, it wasn't a great performance by Jaylen. I remember also Kyrie ripped the ball at the sideline and it went out of bounds because Jaylen wasn't even looking for the pass. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't remember that play.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't have those kinds of mistakes in a tight game, you know, and I think Steven just said, I'm going to go with the guys I trust, and Jaylen, I don't know, I just don't think it was Jaylen.
Well, I mean, he was pretty much the only guy last night who wasn't a negative in plus minus, and I don't always go by plus minus, but he shot 50% from the field, 50% from three, wasn't a a negative in terms of plus minus. You know, obviously, were there some mental mistakes? Yeah, but other guys made mental mistakes. Brad talked about it after the game. He thought there were times where they were slow to double Kawhi Leonard. And really, Kawhi Leonard got over on everybody who guarded him. I mean, frankly, he abused Gordon Hayward, if we're just going to be honest about it. So, that wasn't the Celtics' best game. Again, there were mistakes from Brown. I would have brought him back in the game because I think point in the fourth quarter, he's your best combination of offense and defense for what's happening on the court. That's just my opinion. You know, I'm obviously not an NBA coach, and I'm obviously don't know as much about basketball as Brad Stevens, but I thought he was sort of, and he probably won't admit it, but I thought he was sort of experimenting there. He's like, I want to see what happens. You know, it's like high school chemistry class when you start mixing stuff. I want to see what happens if I go with Marcus Morris here. I'm going to see what happens if I go with Terry Rozier in this spot, because I've seen Jaylen Brown play with these other four guys. Let me see if there's something else here.
All right, so I know you wanted to touch on this here before we wrap up the show today. So this news came out yesterday that the G League is now going to offer $125,000 contracts to one-and-done players as an alternative to the criminal NCAA. I'm adding the commentary there. And now I'm going to read from Adrian Wojnarowski this afternoon on ESPN. The NBA and the Players Association struggling to reach an agreement on lowering the league minimum age to 18, differing on the league's desire to attach two conditions to ending the one-and-done NBA draft era. Commissioner Adam Silver presenting MBPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts to require the player agents furnish all teams with medical information on prospective draft prospects. League also wants to mandate players' attendance and some level of participation in the pre-draft combine. NBA still hopes to reach an agreement with the Players Association and allow graduating high school seniors to enter the league draft starting in 2022. So your thoughts? I know you wanted to...
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you know, look, taking that, I think right now that's just posturing. You know, the NBA would like some of these guys to show up at the combine, and really what it's about is the medicals. You know, agents will not give medicals. Like, let's say the Sacramento Kings are interested in your client, and you're like, that's a dumpster fire there. I don't want to go there. So you don't give them the medicals, and you know, and you sort of let rumors percolate that your guy has a bum knee. So the NBA wants to move away from that. Overall, though, I like what's happening with this G League select player thing. I think it's a nice alternative for some of these kids that really don't want to go to college. It's just a way station for them. And I think this is good. It gives the NBA a little bit more control over the development of the players who come into their league and their talent pipeline. I think it's about time for this. And you know,
totally.
And I think it makes the G League more interesting as well. It, you know, if you know, okay, there's this kid's going to be in the G League for a year and then be in the draft. And I like it. I like where it's going. I think the NBA needed to step in. One and done is harming not only the college game, but I think the NBA game as well. You're getting a lot of guys that just aren't ready and are coming out. And I think this is good. I think it will actually ultimately help the college game. Maybe you don't have all the stars there, but at least you have guys that want to be in college or that still need to be in college to really develop their games. I think it's good for basketball on both levels.
Just a reminder, if you did miss anything on the Sports Hub Celtics show today, you can always catch it as we podcast it, 98.5thesportshub.com. And again, the Celtics back in action tonight, taking on the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. It's going to be John Wallach and Cedric Maxwell on the call. Catch it here at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. No commercials here, just Sarge with the Sports Hub headlines. He's going to get you caught up with his deep, wonderful voice.
Thank you, Jim. And takes one to know one.
Oh, of course, Sarge. We can out-deep each other. Sounds like, you want to go deep? How deep can you go, Sarge? Go deep.
That's right, baby.
Deep, yeah.
Well, you know.
That's I think Matt McCarthy has you both beat.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know about that, Chris.
Sarge. Ooh.
Oh. Yeah,
all right. This sounds like the pizza thing, huh?
Deep voice smack talk over
there. Oh, here we go.
That's good, but I'll lay the smack down on him.
All right,
yeah,
Sarge.
Suck of trash. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Sarge going to get you caught up with the Hub headlines, and then we'll turn our attention to the Patriots. You know, they played the most entertaining game in the NFL last Sunday, and it's almost like it's been forgotten because, you know, the Red Sox in the World Series, and they just beat the Houston Astros in five games in the ALCS. We'll mix in those calls, too, if you still want to talk about the Sox. We've got to talk about the Pats last week's game and then what's coming up for them tomorrow in Chicago with the Bears. It's 98.5 Sports Hub, Gasper and Murray.